I think, happily, we're joined by Alex Terrell. Are you there, Alex?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thanks a lot for joining us. And it's a fundraising day for us, so you're a boost. We really appreciate it. It's,
oh, great.
Now, Alex, what entity of NATO is coming to Montreal? When they're going to be there? What's going on there?
Right. So basically, starting on Friday until Monday, the NATO Parliamentary Assembly is gathering in Montreal. So there's going to be lawmakers from all the NATO countries and also all of the partner nations as well, including Israel, are going to be gathering at the convention center here in Montreal.
Israel is coming.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
What is their? How does NATO address them? What title do they give them? They're not in NATO, right?
They're some sort of a strategic partner. So they're not a member of NATO, but they are affiliated with it. And a lot of their weapon systems are coming from NATO countries like United States and Germany. So they are closely tied to NATO, even though they're not a member. I mean, if they were a member and they were attacked, then it would trigger, you know, a response from all the NATO countries. So they don't have membership status, but they are a partner of NATO.
I was struck by something, and you must have been too. I know you're on top of all these things, that when there was the Israelis recently hit Iran, and then there was talk that Iran was likely to strike back, NATO issued a statement saying that they would support Israel if that were to happen, and that they would also condemn or act against anyone allied with the Islamic Republic. It's called the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, so it's got a position on something going on in the Persian Gulf. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, it started as the North Atlantic Trade Organization, but it's in reality the world's biggest military alliance. And I think that, with what you mentioned with Iran and Israel, if this were to escalate into a global conflict, and you would have the front with Ukraine, but you'd also have the front in Israel. And I think that if it did escalate into a larger conflict, that likely Israel would perhaps become a member of NATO or certainly fight on the side of NATO. So it's difficult times that we're living in when there's this uncontrolled escalation on all fronts. And personally, I really hope that things can get turned around. But one of the difficult parts about that is that, at least in Canada, there's very little criticism of NATO allowed into the public conversation in terms of mainstream media and mainstream Canadian politics. It's as if we have our blinders on and we're just giving this support to all kinds of international military interventions without much public consultation, without really that much public awareness in Canada either.
Yeah. So now NATO is coming with this parliamentary exercise. And what kind of things are being organized there by people who are opposed to this whole NATO initiative?
Right, so there's a variety of demonstrations taking place. On the Friday afternoon, there's some groups that are holding a teach-in. There's a Chèque la guerre that's holding a demonstration. There's also a group called the CLAC, the Convergence des Luttes Anticapitalistes, which is holding a nighttime demonstration. And it's a group that's known for having run-ins with police and riot police and that sort of thing at their demonstrations. So we'll see what happens with that. Then on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m., the Quebecois Movement for Peace is holding a family-orientated demonstration downtown Montreal. And on Sunday is really our big day. We're organizing a counter-summit. So we're having different speakers from across the country that are going to come and talk about the role that NATO is playing in the escalation of global tensions, and also people making the link with what's happening in Palestine and NATO, because it's a subject that...
Well, you really tied it in. I'm really glad you enlightened us on that, actually. I don't think most people, they think NATO, they don't associate Israel, but they're going to be there.
Yeah, I know, and I've been in some Palestinian rights groups, and when I bring up NATO, the people, were not immediately keen to, getting on to denouncing it and that sort of thing. But when you look at it, these links are there, like, Israel is basically a big military base for the United States. That's where they're getting their weapons. It's NATO countries that are supplying them. So you know, it's completely tied in. We're going to have a keynote speech by Medea Benjamin from Code Pink in the United States, one of the leading American activists against NATO and against warfare in general. We've also got a German MP, Sivin Dagleden, and she's you know, one of the most outspoken people in German politics against the escalation of the war in Ukraine. She was actually a member of the NATO Parliamentary Assembly herself.
Oh, she's actually a member. Did you
not at the moment, but as of recently, she was, I guess, on the German delegation to the NATO Parliamentary Assembly. But she's written a book against NATO.
You know, Alex, it's a good time to mention. They try to sell the idea here that there's absolute solidarity, and NATO is strong, and it may even expand more. But we're starting to hear Hungary, Slovakia, and now significantly in Germany, with even Scholz deciding he would call Putin, which everybody says he's doing that to save his own neck in Germany, right? So there's significant opposition going on within NATO.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, Germany has played a really negative role, I think, in the war with Ukraine. I mean, sending tanks in there, and unfortunately, even the Green Party has played an active role in warmongering over in Germany. But it's nice to see that now some anti-war voices are coming up and that they're starting to feel pressure to de-escalate and to reestablish some diplomatic relations because, you know, for the last 2.5 years, this war has been going on. Ukraine never had a real chance at winning. It was a fantasy the whole time. It was meant to weaken Russia. It's a United States proxy war. And, you know, we need some voices of reason. It's not normal that, like, all of the mainstream voices are completely pro-NATO, completely pro-warfare, completely pro-escalation. Like, it's time to bring, like, a bit of nuance and a lot of opposition to what we're hearing.
Yeah. I saw something of where the Russians were reacting to various developments. It was an old speech or interview with Putin of Russia, President Putin, and he said that when NATO, they first were talking about further expansion, he said they asked, well, why are you doing this? This is, you know, we don't, as it's a military problem for us, so you're extending NATO. And he said they told us, no, NATO is becoming a parliamentary group. So I guess this ties in with this coming weekend, this subject. He said, well, if it's a parliamentary group, why are you bombing Serbia?
Right.
Is there a con going on there? I didn't, actually, until I heard him say that, I never had that picture, but that was his take on it. He said they were going to develop into a parliamentary, I guess, European Union-like phenomenon. I found it difficult to understand, but it...
Well, it's much more than just a meeting, right? It's much more than a group that meets once a year there to talk about different issues. Like, this is a hardcore military alliance that, you know, does not rule out the possibility of a first strike using nuclear weapons that, you know, is looking to expand militaries around the world, that's looking to increase its power, that's looking to maintain, you know, the unipolar world where the United States sits at the top, and to stop the emergence of any competing nations. So, you know, it's really unfortunate that this military alliance is forging ahead with, you know, relatively little opposition and relatively little scrutiny when, at a time when it continues to expand, you know, towards Russia and you know, risks really dragging us into a conflict that we have no business being in.
I mean, with our former ally and also fellow Security Council member.
Right, exactly.
It's bizarre. Alex, tell us again now what the dates are and what's going to happen. Because, by the way, I think it sounds from what you're telling me you're going to have some traction. So I really congratulate anybody in Montreal that's getting this organized.
Yeah, thanks. Well, the main event that we're having is on Sunday, November 24th, starting at 10 a.m. at the Greek Workers Association in Montreal. That's our counter-summit meeting. That's when our main keynote speeches are going to be taking place. It's a full-day event from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We hope to adopt a declaration at the end that will really sort of set the agenda for the anti-war movement for the months and years to come within Canada. So if anybody is interested in taking part, you can find the information on the website of the Canada-wide Peace and Justice Network. There's a page on their website about it. People are welcome to register, and it's going to be a really interesting day of discussions and activism around these very important questions.
Well, that's great, Alex. I hope maybe we could talk to you after all this goes down and see what's been accomplished, or also what would be revealed by this get-together of NATO. Thank you very, very much, Alex. We do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Alex Terrell, Green Party leader in Quebec.